You know, dealing with youth, I get asked a lot of times about, I just don't know how you do it in the world we live in today. And, you know, kids aren't what they used to be, which isn't true. Kids are exactly what they've always been. The world's different. And then you get asked, you know, when you've got a two-year-old and a five-year-old like I have, people will ask, aren't you worried about the world that you're bringing your kids into? And if I really stop and dwell on it very long, I guess I would be. And I would be afraid of being in the youth ministry if I really looked at it from a strictly world standpoint. But here's the good news. It's the same God now that it was then, right? It's in the empty tomb. It's on the rugged cross. That same Christ, that same Holy Spirit, that same being that has been here from the beginning of time is the same one that's here now. And we have nothing to fear. But, we have to be in truth. And in the world that we live in today, you see it all around us, whether it's in church, whether it's on TV, whether it's on your phone, in the news, whatever, there is a lot of half-truths and a lot of things that are disguised as faith-based, Christian-based, that are not. And the bad news about those is they are either doing a few things, but they're either leading you to hell, or they're at least, at the minimum, removing some of the peace and some of the happiness and some of the things that Christ has intended for you. Does that make sense? And I want us to look at this for a little bit, and we're going to talk about a couple of things. If you have your Bible with you, we are going to be in Galatians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 6. But the most important thing, just like the Creator and the Christ is the same as He was in the beginning and will be in the end, and He hasn't changed and He's never going to change, most of the problems haven't changed either. They're the same they always have been. The difference is, what are we looking to? Are we in the truth, or are we being deceived? Okay? So let's pray real quick, and we're going to look at this. Father, we thank You for this morning, and we thank You for the opportunity that we have to come and worship. Lord, to look at Your word and truth, and I just ask that You would speak boldly to us this morning. Lord, that You would open hearts and You would open ears, that we would hear and we would be changed. Lord, for those that may not know You this morning, that You would speak to them and that they would hear that call. For those that already know You, Lord, that we would grow, and that we would be strengthened to go forward and to glorify You in everything we do. Lord, we love You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. So this isn't my joke or my analogy, but I did get this and I used it on my daughter. And so we were talking about, we have a couple of horses there at the house, and so I pointed at one of the horses, and his name's Bozo. I named him after my wife, and she's not here this morning, see? But I asked my daughter, I said, how many legs does that horse have? And she said, well, four. I said, okay. I said, now let's stop and think about this. If I decided, or if all the scientists in the world got together and they decided that we were going to start calling their tail a leg, how many legs would that horse have? And she said, well, I guess five. And I said, no, the truth is that horse still has four legs. You can call the tail whatever you want to call it, but it ain't a leg, right? And a lot of people have been misled when it comes to Scripture about half-truths. You can be told whatever you want to be told, but the truth is the truth, right? Jesus was very direct with His words, and He was very precise, and every word that was put in this book was put here and ordained by God, right? It was God-breathed, so this is exactly how it's supposed to be. But I want you to see something cool. When I started to do this study this week, when I started really talking and thinking about truth, and I started digging in into this word, and I started doing word studies, and I started getting outside scriptures, right, to go along with what we were going to look at this morning. One of the scriptures that I found comes all the way, and you don't have to turn here yet, you can turn here later, but one of the scriptures comes from Revelation 22, verse 18, where this is Jesus, he says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And then he goes on in verse 19, and we're going to look at this again in a minute. But it's all the way at the end in Revelation where he's warning about don't add to or take away from my word, right? This is almost the end of the book, by the way. If you don't know that, that's the last chapter and there's only a handful of verses left after that where he's telling us to focus, don't lose sight of the word. Don't add to it, don't take away from it, right? And in the same sentence or in the same way, he's warning those of us who are studying his word or listening to others preach the word, if they're adding to it or taking away from it, shut them out. They're not speaking truth. Now I want you to go with me all the way. It's going to take me a minute because I didn't mark this one because it dawned on me just a few seconds ago. But all the way back in Genesis, when God tells his people or he tells Adam and Eve, right, not to eat from the tree of knowledge. And the serpent comes to Eve. And what does he do to Eve? Do you remember? He says, hey, eat from that tree. And I'm paraphrasing here, by the way, if you haven't noticed. My Bible's over there. I don't have that very good a memory. But he looks at Eve, and Eve says, hey, don't eat from that tree. And he looks at Eve, and he says, did he really say he doesn't want you to eat from that tree because he knows that you would have knowledge that you don't know how, and you would be better at being, you know, his follower, you would know more that you don't know now if you ate from that tree. Did he really say that? What's he doing? He's adding and taking away from the word at the same time. So here's what I want you to get. Here's how I'm tying it all together. Before we even got in, see, spoiler, half of you are going to leave. The world we live in is no different than the world that's always been here. From the beginning of time, Satan's been adding and taking away from this word. And all the way in the end, Jesus is warning, or Jesus through John is warning us not to listen or not to add or take away from the word. He's pointing himself to us from the beginning and all the way to the end. He says, I am your truth. Look to me. Don't worry about the world that's around you because I have already beat that world. I've already conquered that world. I need you to look to me so we can do business and we can do our job. I'll bring you peace. We'll look at that too here in a second. But if you have your Bible, Galatians 1 verse 6, he says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Galatia. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, I'll give you the backstory real quick about what's happened here. The church in Galatia was established by Paul based solely on the word and truth of Jesus Christ, right? It was based on the gospel from Christ. If you know the story about Paul and how he was converted from Saul, I mean, he got a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. He bases a bunch of churches on this, and Galatia is one of them that he starts, and then he leaves, and he gets it established and going, and he leaves. Well, he catches word that what had happened is there's a bunch of Gentiles and Jews in this church. And the Jews that are there that have converted to Christianity are getting a lot of pressure from the Jews in the community that are still their friends that aren't converted. And these Jews that haven't converted are telling them, well, you can't preach to those Gentiles. And man, if they're going to come to Jesus, they're going to have to start living by some laws, right? They're going to have to be circumcised. They're going to have to be, you know, they're going to have to change and live by some of these laws that we've always lived by. And there was enough pressure that these Jews within the Christian church are changing the word. They're changing the gospel. And they're telling these Gentiles they're having to do things that Jesus never once told us that we had to do. Now, I understand that nobody in today's world is telling any of us Gentiles that we have to change. I'll put it politely. Praise Jesus. But here's the difference. Here's the comparison. The world's the same today as it was then. We see this a lot in churches today, a perverted version of the gospel. Unfortunately, all over the world and all over the country this morning, there are people that are preaching that if you surrender your life to Jesus, and as long as you give your tithing money every morning, that you're going to prosper, that he's going to give it back tenfold, and your life's going to be great. I got news for you. That's not what the gospel says. All over the country this morning, there are people preaching things and saying that things are acceptable and okay that the Bible is very, very, very clear are not. Right? There are people living by a false sense of gospel. There are people putting their faith and trust in a made-up version of Jesus that doesn't exist. But here, we see another version where people get their faith and their politics muddled together, right? Now, please understand me. I believe 100% in voting your political or your religious values, biblical values, and I am 100% proud to be in a country where I have the freedom to vote and I have the ability to glorify my Lord through the country that I live in. So please don't misunderstand anything that I'm fixing to say. But my faith is not in Washington, D.C. My peace and my happiness in life is not found from my Second Amendment right. My faith comes solely from Jesus Christ. And I believe 100% that He is in control, just like He's always been in control. And I'm not going to live in fear. You see that a lot preached too. I had a guy, bless his heart, and maybe I shouldn't have done this. He's a 90-year-old man. And he came, we were at a Brandon, and he came up to me and he started asking me about end time prophecy. And I said, look, I've studied a little bit of it, and my second favorite book in the Bible is Revelation. But to be honest, I don't know. The Bible tells me I don't know, so I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not 100% sure exactly what it's going to look like, but I do know we're closer to it today than we were yesterday. And he proceeded to tell me a bunch of stuff that he had heard, I don't know who the TV pastor was that he was listening to, but he proceeded to tell me about all, and you could tell this 90-year-old man was so worked up about the end and how the world's going to heck in a handbasket, right? And I smiled at him and I said, man, you're 90 years old. Who cares? And he didn't like that much. But my point was this. I'm 36 years old. I don't know that I passed it, but I had a gallstone attack yesterday. I'm pretty sure. We don't know there's gallstones, but we're pretty sure. I thought I was dying for a few minutes. You never know. 36 years old, I mean, you don't know. My day could be today. And if it is, praise the Lord. Somebody take care of my wife and kids, but I'm good. Because the gospel tells me that I don't have to be afraid. Because I know the truth. I'm buried in the truth. I study the truth. My truth comes from this word right here. And Jesus tells me very plainly, if I will give my focus and my life and my trust in Him, I have nothing to fear. But there are all kinds of perverted truths and perverted gospels and things that we see on our TVs and in our phones and we read, and our focus gets shifted and He takes just a little bit out and He adds just a little bit to where we're not, but people get confused. Just as He says here, people have thrown you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. He says, basically, curse those who aren't preaching the truth. And then he says, let me say that again so you didn't catch it in the back. If you're not speaking God's word, you're cursed. Be buried in the truth. This was a cool deal I heard too the other day. And some of you, when I used it and I explained it in our young adult Bible study class, there were some that had already heard this too. But did you know that the people who are in charge, the U.S. Treasury Department, has, agents who look for counterfeit money? Did you know they don't study counterfeit dollar bills, but rather they study a real dollar bill over and over and over and over and over, to the point that if they ever pick one up that isn't the real thing, they can immediately tell the difference. They don't study the fake, they study the truth. so that they can spot, sense, smell, taste, touch, whatever it takes. They know the truth so well that they can spot a fake from a mile away. This should be us. We should know this scripture and know this gospel so well through and through that when anything that's not of Christ comes to us, we can spot it, smell it, taste it, feel it from a mile away. Otherwise, we end up like Galatia, who's allowing the leaders of their church at the time. That's why he says, whether it's me or an angel from heaven, he says, look, we don't want our gospel coming from anybody but Christ. As wonderful as I am, right? Fine figure of a man. I'm smart as I am. You don't want it from me. You don't want it from Robert. You don't want it from anybody on this planet. You want it from Jesus Christ. That's it. And I am, for the record, very thankful that we do have a pastor who gets it directly from the Lord every Sunday. Amen. But we've got to, so I pose the question. I ask myself this. Why does this happen? Right? This church scenario. You can look at our world as a whole, but I mean, in this church, these were good people. I mean, this church isn't very old. It didn't take it long to get off track. So I started asking, why would this happen? Like, how did they get to where they are? And what it was that the leadership and the church itself lost sight of the truth. I tell this to the youth kids all the time. If all you're getting with your relationship with Jesus Christ is a 30-minute message on a Wednesday night and a 30-minute message on Sunday morning in Bible study, you're in a world of hurt. That 30 minutes and 30 minutes should just be part of what you've got going on. It should maybe be a recharge for what you already have, but your relationship with Jesus Christ is yours. That's how they get off track. But we see this a lot. And I don't, what happens between you and the Lord is between you and the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, if the only scripture and the only time that you spend with Jesus Christ is this morning, you're in a world of hurt. You can be perverted in a hurry because you're not going to know what the truth is. How much quiet time do you spend in your word? How much quiet time do you spend in prayer? How devoted are we to making sure that we're taking him with us everywhere, every job, every little project that we have going on, that he's the reason that we're going to do it? Because if not, you're not living the truth. I'm not here to call you a liar. Don't misunderstand. Don't twist my words. Don't pull a Satan on me, right? But you're not living in that truth and that peace that he created and put there for us. And in doing so, we end up giving in to earthly pressures. Or persuasions. We get the twisted idea that we're here to get along with everybody, and that's not true either. But if you twist the words enough, it sounds right, doesn't it? We're called to love people. We've got to make sure that we're buried in this truth. And I want you to see this. Verse 11, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He goes on down here, and he's talking about his previous life. You know, if you don't know, he was a murderer of Christians, and he was a high-ranking Jew, and he was really found and thought of real highly in the Jewish culture. But in verse 15, he says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal to his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I didn't go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. And what he's saying here and what he's telling you and me and that long drawn out was to say this. He says, when God spoke to me and God moved in my life, I didn't go ask the expert's opinion. I asked the expert opinion. Here's what we forget. There's this thing called the Holy Spirit. And he'll reveal things to you, and he will teach you things, and he will tell you things, and he will show you things and make you understand things that you may not understand. Guys, I'm not very intelligent. Most of you probably give me an amen on that, and that's fine. I would agree with you. Yeah, Craig, why don't you stand up and tell us that? I'm glad to see you, buddy. But listen, when the Spirit, He reveals His Word, He's not trying to hide anything from us. He's begging. The book of Psalms tells us He's standing on the, or book of Proverbs, excuse me, He's standing on the rooftop shouting at us. Everywhere we go, He wants you to see Him. He's not hiding from you. He says, but I need you to look to me. I need you to live in truth. I need you to desire the truth. I want you to be in your word. I want you to be praying. I want you to see me so that the world doesn't show itself to you and you get confused. I'm the way to peace. Jesus tells His disciples, He says, listen, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. He tells us the same thing. He says, I'm the truth, and that should comfort you. He says, I'm not telling you all this bad stuff about the world. He had just finished telling His disciples how He was going to be arrested and crucified and all these bad things, and they're all standing there with their mouth open like, I thought you were the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And He's like, I am. And they didn't understand, and He looks at them and He says, I'm telling you this so that you can have peace in me. The truth brings peace. The happiness that we're after, the answers to how are we going to live in such an ugly world, the reason that I can put my head down at night and know that my 2 and 5-year-old are going to be okay, it's because of the truth, because of His peace, because I know He's in control like He's always been in control. But we've got to know the truth. We've got to dig in His Word so we get the purest form possible. And we're not getting it perverted in a world that can't wait and is trying every single second to pervert it that it can. The answer's right here. And He's begging you to get it and to strive for it and to look for it. Thousands of years ago, He writes this letter to Galatia about churches that are off track and perverted in a world that had gone awry. You could write this same letter again today. You know, a lot of these disciples that were alive then believed that the end of the world was coming any day then too. But the gospel and the truth of Jesus is He tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the things that are going on around you in this world. The truth is that I have already overcome that stuff. So live bold lives for me today. Bury yourself in truth and in the Word and in your prayer life and glorify me with every ounce of what you've got. And let me deal with the details around you. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that You are all-knowing and that You are in all control. And Father, we thank You that You are the true, You're the truth, that You're the source of that truth that we're all seeking. Lord, I just ask that You would guide and direct us as a church and individually to constantly be seeking You through Your Word in its purest form, Lord, and that You would reveal it and pour it out on us without any hesitation. And Lord, that we could go forward boldly and do great things for You in a world that we know, Satan, we know it's going further and further from You. But Lord, we also know that You're in control and You have a plan, and we beg that You would just move through us and that the truth would shine just like it always has. Lord, we love You and we're so grateful for You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.